A un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick a Pop Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's TheSamD. Use the hashtag Pick a Pop to keep up when the Pick a Pop Podcast is dropping. Subscribe and rate 5 stars, nothing less. Apple iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud.com/showfreesports. Musical production done by May First Music. Support him, SoundCloud.com/May First Music. You know what it is. It's a Sunday. It's like a Sunday in a row. You get in the pod. Get used to it. Get familiar. Get used to that notification popping up on your phone that a new Pick a Pop has dropped. And this is what it is. So today we have something a little special. My usual takes. And then we also have something at the end I'm going to call Big Mad Moments of the Week. It's inspired by LeBron and Jim Boeheim going back and forth. And LeBron said, oh, you big mad. So I was like, yo, I'm fucking with that. I fucks with that. So we're going to have our Big Mad Moments of the Week later in the podcast after the takes. Get those off my chest and then we get to have, you know, some fun. Talk about some moments that people were big mad this week in the National Basketball Association. Quattro. That's how many first rounders the Rockets are willing to give up for Jim Buckets. Not one, not two, not three, but four. Four of them things. Yeah, we're not even sure if many will accept it yet because due to other players that will be involved in the deal, the contracts aren't movable until Halloween. But four first round picks for Jimmy Butler. Is that enough? Is that worth getting a two-way specialist in his prime like Jim Buckets? Nah. It's not. And it ain't even worth counter-offering either. Daryl Morey's trying to steal off on Glenn Taylor. He's a vulture trying to swoop in on the rapidly decaying carcass that is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're stuck with two franchise players that people are kind of questioning. Those people including Jim Buckets, Captain Jack, and maybe even now, Tibbs. I mean, Tibbs is off the mix on this, right? Like, he's not involved in this. You know, despite the whole coach VP of basketball operations title, because of his trash-ass ways, Glenn Taylor has kind of come down from the rafters, come down from the owner's box, and it's taken over the reins with this Jimmy saga. In this Jimmy gotta go scenario, Glenn Taylor's now the one that's going to make the final call as to whether Jimmy goes or not. And if he does go, where is he going to go? And what are the Timberwolves going to get back for him? I mean, on the surface, it seems obvious that Minnesota should accept the deal, right? But you can't. You can't do it. And why can't you do it? Because if it's too good to be true, it ain't true. There's something that's not floating. There's something that's not sitting right. And so for me, you can't do it. I mean, having an extra first rounder doesn't carry the same weight as in the NFL. I mean, look no further than the Clippers this past year. They had back-to-back lottery picks in this year's draft, right? They bring in Jerry West, put him in charge. I mean, you know Jerry West, the logo. You know the dude who built the Lakers and assisted in the Dubs' dominance. That dude. They had back-to-back first-round lottery picks. And the goddamn logo couldn't convince anyone to take both of those so he could move up. I mean, he wanted to move up to draft a player like Mo Bamba or Trae Young. I mean, if the logo couldn't do it, what makes you think Glenn Taylor, Tibbs, if he's even still there, or whoever follows Tibbs, will be able to package multiple picks, first rounders, maybe even some that are not lottery picks, to maybe to use those to be able to move up and get a transcendent player. The Wolves need players, actual bodies, warm, breathing humans. They need players right now. They got A. Wiggins and they got Cat locked up together for the next 4 years at max bread. Put some hoopers around them and let's see what they're really about. Can they really hoop? Are they worth the max bread? There's no way to find out if it's just the two of them and nothing else. So that's the angle for me as to why if I'm Minnesota, I don't take that deal. Because the players that they're supposed to be getting back, along with these four picks, aren't enough. Not for Jim Buckets. No. Not enough. For the Rockets, it's more being Morey. Buckets would definitely help with the perimeter D. There is no question about that. But he's also another dude that likes to rock in his hands. He's not much of a spot-up shooter. So how does he blend in with the beard and the point fraud? And Melo, who's been getting buckets lately, but the trash narratives are still going to be persistent. Does this make the Rockets go toe-to-toe with the Dubs in late May? Is Jim Buckets enough? Does this swing the pendulum to the millennial version of the 7 seconds or less Mike D'Antoni offense? Hell to the nah. That shit don't mean nothing, bruh. The Rockets aren't even the second best team in the West with Jim Buckets. I mean, maybe they can go head up with Utah now with Jimmy. Maybe thinking they can go at Lakeshore Braun and him with Jimmy. But they ain't nowhere near the Dubs or any top team in the East either. It's a wrap for Houston. This is what people need to just go out here and say. It's a wrap for Houston. And it ain't Melo's fault either. The window has closed. Like, let that sink in. That's real talk. The window has closed. Like, Harden played at an unbelievable pace last year. And he shows no signs of wearing down. I'm not saying Harden's done, like the beard is a wrap. I'm just saying it's hard to imagine for me that he's going to have the kind of run that he had last year. He had the moments. He had the Wes Johnson falling down, staring at him, looking at him. He had that signature moment that a player makes in their MVP year. Their stars were aligned. They were the number one seed. They had home court in the conference finals. They had the defending champs on their home gym in game 7. Yeah, they had no point fraud. But they had the eventual MVP. And the soon-to-be maxed-out Clint Capella. And the reigning, defending, sneakerhead champ of the league in P.J. Tucker. And seemingly, according to y'all now, in the truest form of revisionist history, the irreplaceable Trevor Ariza and Luke Mabute. Sidebar. You know how many points Luke Mabute had versus the Dubs in the 7-game series? I'll wait for y'all to take guesses. 7-game series. How many points Luke Mabute had? You give up? 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Cinco. 5 points. And I know. But Sam, he's more known for his defense. He's a stopper. He's a wing defender. They miss him. They miss him and Ariza so much. You know, because it's Melo's fault. So let's go to last postseason then. Before Melo got there. Guess who had a better defensive rating in the postseason than defensively irreplaceable Trevor Ariza and Luke Mabute? James Harden. James fucking Harden. And y'all out here screaming about the loss of these dudes this season? Yeah, get the fuck out of here, bruh. Trash narratives. So much like the Sixers lost potentially their only chance to get to the finals last year. Hashtag Philly let us down. I mean, because if you're the Sixers, you're looking now and look, man, the Celtics are fully healthy. The Raptors stole Kawhi and Giannis is coming for that MVP. So now you're the Sixers and you're looking up at three teams that are better than you. now and potentially in the future as well. Because I don't know if the apex of what Embiid or Simmons could be is going to be better than Giannis. Because I already know that Philly people are going to be feeling some kind of way about that. But real shit, do you think Embiid is going to be better than Giannis long term? I mean, I don't see that. And I love Embiid. Y'all know that, home team Cameroon. Giannis is on some other shit this year, bro. But now we take this to the Rockets side. The Rockets have to look at, continue to look up at the Dubs, who they're not close to being better than. The Jazz, who, because of their cohesion and their offense-defense balance, are certainly in the conversation. And then you got the King and Staples. Nah, bro. Four picks ain't worth giving all of that up just to be fourth in the West. Man, you can tell me Morey could wave his magic wand and, you know, sign Jimmy Butler max after this year and find a way to get some other. I don't believe it. Now, I mean, you got the point for all that max, the beard at max, Capella damn near the max. You going to sign Jimmy Butler to the max too? You're going to have three full maxes and then a dude near the max? And you going to have enough for a full roster? A roster full of good players. How you going to pull that one off? I mean, Morey finds a way to get Minnesota to take these four picks and bring in Jim Buckets, and they make a little noise in the playoffs, and then they re-sign Jim Buckets for max bread and still be able to pull out a talented, competent roster, then we're talking about godlike status for Daryl Morey. But I don't think it could happen. I don't see it. So four picks to me ain't worth being third or fourth in the West for the foreseeable future. It's not like, oh, that's just for this year. Nah, because if you take that, bruh, Klay's going to L.A. So Klay going to be a Laker. So the Lakers going to be that much better next year. We don't know where Boogie's going to go. I mean, if KD dips to the Mecca and Klay dips to L.A., it's quite possible Boogie might, if he balls out and looks healthy, he might stay in the Bay. If you have Steph, Draymond, Boogie, is that better than the Rockets? It's debatable. It's worth a question. It's worth seeing. And to me, if I have to give up four first-round picks to get a dude, and I might not be better than a team built around Steph and Boogie, then it's not worth it giving up four first-round picks. I mean, this is a trade that, to me, doesn't work for Minnesota or Houston. This is the rare lose-lose trade scenario. Coming up after the break, he did it again. I thought Rajon Rondo could do nothing more to make me prouder than laying hands on a point fraud. But in the aftermath of the suspensions, Rondo went and took a deeper dive into the point fraud. And I was here for every syllable. And I'm here to tell you about how happy I was about every syllable and how factual it was. So Rondo going at the point fraud all damn day last week. I was here for it and I'm still here for it. And we'll get into it next. Welcome back to the Pick Up Pop Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. That's another drink by May 1st. Support him at soundcloud.com/May1st Music. I told y'all we got the big mad moments of the week that will be debuting after this segment. So we're going to do this segment. We come back. The debut of big mad moments of the week. So Rondo. Rondo took his suspension like a real one. No cap. Took it like a real one. Look, he missed three games to the league, siding with the point fraud, and handed him the most severe the punishment between the two of them. And Rondo took the news like the point god that he is. He roasted the fraud and got back up to co-sign his claims. Because that's how the point guard does it. I don't know about you. You want to rob the point fraud. You could rob the fraud. But I'm riding with the point guard. The point guard came out and he came out with the chopper and called a fraud. I mean, he essentially called him a fraud. He said that dude, he ain't a good teammate. He's not well liked. Said that he acts one way in public, but he ain't really that behind the scenes. All factual, by the way. Big facts. And dudes came out and publicly co-signed with the point guard. Big Baby came through on IG and said the same thing. And he hooped with both of them. Ryan Hollins also played with both of them. And he said that the fraud has a lot of growing up to do. Has a lot of growing to do. This is a grown-ass man we're talking about here, bruh. Mr. State Farm. Mr. Leader in the locker room. Mr. Coach on the floor. But because of these trash narratives, the league and the public have made the point fraud Teflon. He's a players union rep. I mean, he has sacrificed the efforts of others for his own financial gain. Shout out Malcolm Jenkins. This is who he is, though. He's a shyster, a con man, a habitual nut hitter since his teenage years. Shout out to Julius Hodge. I mean, you saw the homie's tweet, right? That came out of nowhere. Julius jumped right in the mix and came to the defense of the point guard Rondo. You know, this whole spit thing, and they finally found an angle. You know, at the taping of last week's pod, I said there was no angle. Well, they finally dug deep enough into all the HD cameras that ESPN had, and they found a camera angle that shows something wet flying into the face of the point fraud. Now, Rondo said, look, how can I spit in this dude's face? I got a mouthpiece in. How can you spit with a mouthpiece? Also very factual. But Julius, you know, he did his deep dive. He psychoanalyzed the video. He checked the tape. And he said, yo, as a hooper, looked like it was just some sweat off of his top lip that he was attempting to blow off. Imagine that. The whole world is going nuts calling Rondo a spitter. Calling the point guard a spitter. When actually, quite potentially, it could have just been some sweat on his top lip that he was attempting to blow off. I wouldn't have guessed that. But Julius Hodge did that. So I wouldn't have to do that. I feel you, bro. Talk that talk. Keep those factual narratives coming. But let's be clear. Rondo came for the point fraud soul. He didn't double down. He quadruple, triple, double downed plus infinity on his dislike of the fraud. The point guard brought up the infamous staple tunnel fiasco that the fraud orchestrated last year but caught no flack for. He also brought up the fact that the fraud ran to where the press was seated at Staples and immediately screamed for everyone to hear, he spit on me. Now, if you're a con man, the first thing you're looking to do to con is to have people who believe you're con. And the press loves Chris Paul. The press idolizes Chris Paul. So if you want to have your narrative believed, if you want somebody to believe your lie, who do you run to? Those who rock with you or those who don't? Point fraud, for all of my dislike for him, he ain't no dummy. He runs right to the kiss-ass media with the microphones, with the cameras, and screams so everyone can hear and is, you know, all going amplified over the microphones. He spit on me. So now the narrative has already been created. Because what did Mike Breen do? He said, oh, well, Chris Paul came over here saying that Rondo spit at him. Boom, the narrative's created. So now no matter what Rondo says, now he has to defend himself out the gate. He can't say nothing else. He can't say what led up to it. He can't talk about the way that Chris Paul tried to thug him earlier in the game and how that kind of ticked everything off. We fast forward past all that. That narrative is now diminished. Whatever Rondo tries to shoot himself some bail on is now diminished. Because now the story starts at, did you spit on a point fraud? So that's what frauds do. Change the narratives. Twist the storyline. Twist the plot. And then, you know, Rondo referenced that if it was really on site, after being spit on, why did the fraud only put a finger in his grill? Only to be snuffed by that majestical left by Rondo. I mean, real shit, like the point guard. Every single point that the point guard laid out, that Rondo laid out, cannot be contested. If it really was on site, and Chris Paul's about this life, he's from the crib, shout out to the crib, got family in the crib. If Chris Paul's really about that life, and he gets spit on, and it's on site, it wasn't really on site. Because all he did was complain that he got spit on. And he put a finger in the point guard's face. So if it's really on site, I mean, why you ain't throw hands off rip? And like Rondo said, if I know I'm going to spit at somebody, I know a punch is coming next. He spit at him. He got a finger in his face. Then once the finger came in Rondo's face, pause, then he began to react and be on site and throw that majestical left. So look, the fraud is a bad teammate. He's admitted as such in prior interviews. You can look it up. He's capitalizing off a fake good guy image. He has used the league for his own financial gain over the players he was voted to represent. I see you, Malcolm Jenkins. All of that is factual. No cap. The point fraud is the ops. And I don't want to hear another syllable about it. And since we're on Rondo, let's go ahead and get to the Lake Show. They rolling. Now, look, I know they took an L in the Alamo last night, but they've been riding a good little wave here since last week. They've been riding a good little wave. The suspension has helped Luke Walton. It has shown him the light that Lonzo needs to start at point guard, and Kuzma deserves to be on the floor more, especially with the King. Those two, and Lonzo and Kuzma, played great in three games since the rumble at Staples. They've played well with and without L.A. Bron on the floor. And you got my mans, Make 'em Dance Lance. He's showing out. And I've been telling y'all this for years, man, how nice Lance is. And y'all mocked me. Some of y'all thought my knowledge was fraudulent because I was hyping up Lance. But now you see, he's cooking. He's cooking on a good team that's on a major platform that's getting a lot of attention. And he's not shying away from the spotlight. He's running towards it because this is what a Coney Allen baller does. Have you ever met a dude that hoops in Coney Allen that was modest? That was nice and modest. No, they all show out. Hell, we don't get He Got Game if it wasn't for Steph. If it wasn't for Starberry, Spike doesn't think of the idea of He Got Game. This is what Coney Allen hoopers do. They provide us with entertainment. From He Got Game to Make 'em Dance Lance. This is what Coney Allen does. But when you look at the free agent acquisitions made by the Lake Show, it's nothing but playmakers. Rondo, we know. Point guard. He can create shots. Baby Bron, def can. And for the ones that were non-believers or the ones that didn't know, now he's showing y'all that he could definitely make plays and set people up. Lonzo, Kuz, Josh Hart have all shown that same type of ability as well. So, I mean, even if Walton decides to dust off Bees and Michael Beasley, Bees can get it popping too. This roster is full of dudes just trying to prove themselves. JaVale's out here pounding for more time. And legitimately, he's the only big they got. I mean, yo, he's hooping out here having back-to-back 20-point games. And he's doing all that with asthma. Sidebar. Y'all peeped Shaq throw shade at Dwight Howard the other night. Did you? He did it the other night when he was talking about JaVale. He said JaVale was putting up Dwight Howard type numbers. Low key shade. Just because JaVale puts up back-to-back 20-point games and like, oh, he's playing. And I think Barkley even tried to lob it up like, oh, but he's playing like you out there, Shaq. And Shaq hit him real quick. Yeah, he's putting up Dwight Howard type numbers. Yo, Dwight, you are never safe as long as Shaq is talking into a mic. You are never safe, bruh. Back to the Lake Show. What do you do with Young Reaper? Now, Brandon Ingram got four games in the whole rumble at Staples. So he's not back until tomorrow, when they played a meniscus hunting taskmaster, Tom Thibodeau, in Minneapolis. Can you bring him off the bench? Can he keep up that same aggressiveness coming off the bench with the likes of Rondo and Baby Bron? I think he can. But it's apparent right now that Bron needs the shooting and the defense of Kuzma, Hart, and yes, even Lonzo. Take another quick break, and we're coming back with Big Mad Moments of the Week. Pick a Pop Podcast. Keep it locked. That's another joint by May 1st Music. Support him at soundcloud.com/May1st Music. All right, we're back in the Pick a Pop Podcast. I am Sam Dusenbay Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheESamD. Use the hashtag Pick a Pop to keep up with the show. Subscribe and rate Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. 5 stars, nothing less. Subscribe and rate, tell a friend. All right, so Big Mad. Who was Big Mad this week? There was a few. There's a lot of people that were big mad this week. And again, if you're not getting a reference, we'll tie that in at the end of the Big Mad segment. But Big Mad Moment of the Week, number one, yeah, that was a dude in a Cavs jersey that was big mad at Boogie Cousins. Dude was out here screaming, heckling at Oracle, "You ruined the NBA. You," as in Boogie, "ruined the NBA." And he looked like a wild dude. Like, he looked wild. He had a LeBron jersey on. Dude look real wild and crazy. "You ruined the NBA." Then he's looking at another dude who was trying to like tell him to be quiet. Like, "He ruined the league, Boogie. Boogie ruined the league." Dog, I mean, I know you saw the video by now. I mean, dude was behind the Dubs bench at Oracle. He's trying to heckle Boogie, who was chilling on the bench in a suit. Boogie, real one that he is, he just laughed at dude. Laughed him off because the dude doesn't want no real smoke. I mean, he's 15 rows behind the bench. But he got Boogie's attention, and Boogie indulged him, and then Boogie laughed at him. I mean, seriously, how can you be big mad at Boogie when no one offered him a contract? The Pels insulted him with their contract offer, and nobody else was banging down Boogie's door. I mean, he reached out to the Dubs directly to be a member of the team. You can't be big mad at that. Now, who you can be mad at is this man's Draymond. Don't you ever forget, Draymond sat in his car in the Oracle parking lot texting sweet nothings to KD to get him to the Bay. And he did all that after blowing a 3-1 lead on a team that won 73 games and had a fraudulent unanimous MVP on it. A series in which Draymond had to watch Game 5 of the NBA Finals across the street in a box suite at the home of the Oakland A's. And you want to know why Draymond had to watch Game 5 across the street in the box suite at the home of the Oakland A's? He's kicking too many testicles. Just can't stop. Can't stop kicking too many testicles. That's why he's known as the habitual, the original. Point for all the second, but the original habitual nut hitter, Draymond Green. Now, speaking of the habitual nut hitter, Fergie's ex-husband is big mad at Draymond. Now, look, I'm not even going to say dude's name because he was reaching so bad for some clout that it's not even worth it. It's like Fergie's ex-bae came to her aid 9 months after she got clowned for one of the worst anthems in history. I mean, after being coerced quite easily by the interviewer, he said Draymond should be a real man and apologize. I mean, dude's really in these streets using the habitual nut hitter to get his wifey back. So on top of everything else that happened this week when the Dubs visited Madison Square Garden, and we'll get to that in a minute, the Dubs released a video of them in the visitor's locker room of MSG pumping the Suede Remix God's version of the Fergie anthem. Off top, the shit knocks. The shit knocks. It's got the flow. It's got the bop that you need for the bounce. The shit knocks. Second of all, Draymond's in the vid. Steph, Mr. Squeaky Clean, he's in the vid. KD, Jordan Bell, hell, even Boogie. They all in there getting lit to the friggin' remix. It's fucking hilarious. By the way, before that funniest fuck vid drop, this is what happened at the Mecca prior to all of that. Yeah, KD, the Durantula, the Slim Reaper, dropping 41, including 25 in the fourth quarter for his future against the Knicks. In the post-game interview, Under Armour King Steph Curry couldn't pronounce Frank Ntilikina's name. I mean, he almost said a word that a certain part of the population can't say. It sounded very much like that. So, I mean, Steph can't pronounce Frank Ntilikina's name. I can because I actually want to, because I know he's going to be trash and I want to be able to throw that name in Knicks fans' face for the foreseeable future. But if I'm Steph, why would I need to know Frank Ntilikina's name? I mean, he's just another dude to get these 35-foot threes off of. I mean, what else is Frank Ntilikina going to be in Steph Curry's life? Besides just another dude to pull up from 40 on. And then Boogie. Boogie's always in the mix. Boogie got ejected from the bench, bruh. Wearing a suit. Boogie, doing nothing. Didn't like a foul call. Got into it with Scott Foster, who's notorious for throwing dudes out. Got into it with Scott Foster. He got ejected from the bench. While in a goddamn suit. Yo, I know I say it every pod, but have I mentioned how much I love this fucking game? Seriously. Who else is big mad? Let's see. The Raptors organization was big mad. And they're big mad at some of their luminaries. They're big mad at T-Mac, Vince, and CB4. I mean, did y'all catch that opening night hype video the Raptors put out on social media? It was supposed to galvanize the fans of the North to get right for the season. But to do that, they had to tear down three Raptor legends. Like, they literally tore down three Raptor legends in the process of trying to get the North hype for this season. It showed how Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter, and Chris Bosh, how the three of them failed to win championships and then left. And how not to worry about if Kawhi is going to stay or not. That doesn't matter. Risk had to be taken, i.e. trading DeMar DeRozan. Feelings had to be hurt, i.e. DeMar DeRozan. Bro, the vid was dope and all. But, I mean, they didn't have to trash Vicinity, T-Mac, and CB4. I mean, look, if you watch the doc on Netflix about Vince, I think LeBron's people put that out. It was pretty clear that the organization was going to have to fold if Vince dipped from the North when he was a free agent back in the day. And yet he stayed. And eventually he forced a trade, but that was way after the fact. I mean, at that point, T-Mac had already dipped via free agency before that. And after the Vicinity fiasco, they were dormant until they got Chris Bosh. He was a lone wolf on a lot of those teams post-Vince and kept the franchise afloat in relevance until he ultimately decided to take his talents to South Beach. Let me see them run that vid with some other Raptor luminaries and let me know how that goes for Masai and the North. Let me see you put Oak up on that screen and say that he failed. How quick you think they get in the call from Oak? Or hell, Oak might just pull up. He got a passport. Tell Antonio Davis that he's responsible for the North not having a chip. For not getting a Larry O'Brien. Tell that to Antonio Davis from the notorious Davis boys. Look, I've worked with Antonio. Trust me, he ain't the one. I mean, the list goes. Jermaine O'Neal, Malice in the Palace. We know his hands are certified. TJ Ford, Marcus Camby, Damon Stoudemire, Doug Christie. I mean, where were they in this failed Raptors montage? By the way, shout out to Landry Fields. Somehow he made it into the video. Is Landry Fields a part of the Raptors failure? Was he counted on? I don't know. But if you watch that vid, somehow you get a quick flash of Landry Fields and it seemed very out of place. Wild times in the North. So yeah, Masai, let me see what the hype video going to look like next year when Kawhi indeed does dip and goes to the left coast and you still have no chip. Keep that same energy for your little hype video next year when it's just Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, and Valanciunas. Keep that same energy, bruh. And to wrap it up, I don't know whether this is big mad or just a fraud of the week. I don't know if I want to make the fraud of the week be a thing, because we've been mixing in different conversations I've had with people about frauds, and we'll continue to do so as the season goes along. But fraud of the week, big mad, biggest big mad of the week, whatever you want to call it, goes to Jim Boeheim. And he's the creator. He caused the creation of this segment. I mean, he's a fraud on the court, and I'll get to that. But we're going to call him the fraud of the week, specifically for the asinine things he said this week in regards to college players being paid, and one particular that he's big mad about. He got big mad because of former Syracuse commit Darius Bazley. He skated on college and skated on Syracuse, and instead will do a shoe internship with New Balance for a cool mill. Thus, now he gets to chill and play ball and hoop and train and get some money in the pocket, and he's waiting to be drafted. Now, he was going to go to the G League and go that route, since that's not available. But he signed with Rich Paul at Clutch Sports and LeBron. So now he doesn't have to do that. He gets bread from New Balance to chill and train and hoop until draft day. Now, Boeheim has been one of the staunchest proponents of the amateurism bullshit that the NCAA has been seeking for centuries. He has benefited tremendously financially off the backs of unpaid labor. He's coached 42 seasons and has his only championship thanks to a one and done. Melo, the last men's basketball championship. Professional or shamateurism like the NCAA was done by Melo. Red Hook Zone. Boeheim also had 100 wins vacated due to improper conduct in his holier-than-thou, if you let him tell it, program. He coaches an archaic zone that admits that his teams are not as good as their opponents, so they must out-scheme them to have a chance. It's a confirmation of inferiority that is unbecoming of a leader of men. And by the way, don't you even think for a second that Melo or someone close to him wasn't also given a huge bag to make sure that he goes and hoops at the Carrigan Dome for 5 months before dipping off into the pros. So Jim Boeheim took the bait, reached out there and called out LeBron and said, well, LeBron's taking care of his client, although LeBron is not officially Clutch Sports. It's Rich Paul. He set his man's up, put him in position to have his own business, and his man's has done big things with his business. I'm sure LeBron has some input, but on the payroll, officially, LeBron is not a part of Clutch Sports. So Jim Boeheim taking a little jab there at the King. And the King responded, oh, he big mad. Lots of emojis following that. Big mad, bruh. Jim Boeheim, fraud on the court for sure. That trash ass 2-3 zone. Man up, son. If you're trying to get the best hoopers in the country and they can't man up, then what the fuck are you doing? Why are you getting $2 million to coach a zone? Any of y'all listening right now could coach a 2-3 zone. You know how easy that shit is? It's not intricate. It's not advanced. $2.1 million to coach a 2-3 zone and have mediocre draft classes. Yeah, fraud. Fraud of the week. Big mad of the week, the creator of this segment, Jim Boeheim. And that will do it for the Pick Up Pop podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. Subscribe and rate Apple iTunes. 5 stars, nonetheless. Google Play, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud.com/ShowFreeSports. Musical production done by May 1st. Support him at SoundCloud.com/May1st. You know what it is. Every Sunday, Pick and Pop Podcast. Hashtag it, Pick and Pop. No and, just a letter N. Pick and Pop Podcast. I'm out.